Great elder team here, and then deacons as well. Great leadership base. And Jeff Statham is going to be sharing today, one of our elders. And we were talking a while back, him and I, and he just has a great testimony. And he always has a theme of sticking to it and longevity. And I said, Jeff, now, by the way, some of you may not recognize Jeff right away because he's not always here. His job is such that he's called away often, and he represents many of us that also have that type of job where it's not a consistent schedule. But he is one of our great elders, so this might be a fresh exposure for some to him. For others, we've known him for a while. But let's thank God today for Jeff and the word we're going to receive. And so, Jeff, why don't you come and share your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. Like Pastor alluded to, we talked about this a little bit before I get in with the message. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, kind of a testimony, and you can bring that up, Caleb. Was you able to get it? Okay, awesome. Now, just think, look at that. That's the only display I've got for today. I'll let you look at that for a minute. I'm 53 years old. I've actually got notes here on how I'm going to share this message, and I'm going to stick with that. Matter of fact, I meant to do something and didn't. It's all right, though. I'm 53 years old. I've been saved 25 years. And honestly, it seems like, sounds like, and feels like an eternity for me personally. Because I don't even remember the past. I do and I don't. Matter of fact, that display is one of those things that I've held on to. And I'm thank God for that. Because it's a picture of where I came from. Drugs and alcohol. And rebellion, and basically just lost, whatever you want to call it. So I accepted Christ as my Savior at the age of 27 years old. I'm 53 right now. And I started growing as soon as I accepted Christ as my Savior. Yes. Right off the bat. Which is exactly what God intends for all of us. And I want to say, if there's one person in this room that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, to get ready. At the end of this service, you can make that the greatest decision you can ever make in your life. I made it, and I'm still here. And you wouldn't even known had I not told you where I came from. So I started growing. Then I was water baptized at the First Baptist Church in Vandalia. And I wrote beside that, big event. And the reason I want to bring that part out in my testimony is there's been a number of you that don't know me that well, you're going to get to know me a little bit today, that have been water baptized right here in this place recently. I mean, some of the numbers have been pretty high. It's huge. Water baptism. Getting saved, getting born again, accepting Christ as your Savior, believing in your heart that God raised him up from the dead and confessing Jesus as Lord is huge. That is the big event. And then you come into this place and you're not sure what's going on. And water baptism is something that follows. Now, for me, it was like 4, 5, 6 months roughly. So I just want to really make an issue out of water baptism that was important that you did that your children did that. My children did that. This little girl, Katie, who many of you in this place grew up with, is the one who wrote those notes about Daddy, stop doing drugs. Would you please stop doing drugs? Yes or no? Dear Santa, all that stuff, as you can see. Yeah, there it is. It's clear. Very good. And, you know, honestly, things to do. Isn't that funny? I had no idea I was going to have a list that day, and the things for me to do was to accept Christ as my Savior. Never in my wildest dreams. Now, Patty, my wife, who's teaching children's church, she was instrumental too. I do not have that note. But she wrote down Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 for me on a piece of notebook paper, and I had those two notes and that little Romans 10, 9 and 10 underneath my pillow at home. We were separated. I was getting high. I didn't want no part of God. But that's what lowered the boom in my life. And, of course, Patty's prayers and intercession. And that First Baptist Church people got in big circles and prayed. So don't ever underestimate for your family members how all that is. God is way big. He is like just beyond belief. Now, we were in that church and we were having a great time. And I went through their discipleship program, the Southern Baptist Convention's discipleship program, and was just yucking it up. But after 1 year, I brought my wife and my three little ones, and Erin Senor is sitting back there. She's the only one left that still is in this church. To this church and raised all three of them in this church. A lot of you know that, but a lot of you don't, and that's why I'm sharing this information. And I have got no regrets. There's so many new people in this place right now that are, their children are being baptized, their children in children's church, they're in Bible Adventure Hour, they're being greeted, they're part of this worship team experience, and they're growing. I raised my family here and have zero regret about it. It was powerful. Super, super naturally powerful. And like Billy Graham's wife said long ago, on a Focus on the Family thing, that when they grow old, they don't depart. So if you do the best you can, I mean, you're doing well by doing that. And this is an awesome place as a church. Now, Pastor Hyatt was the pastor here when I walked in these doors that day. Dave and Joe were both elders. Pastor wasn't here yet, 25 years ago, roughly. And through his leadership and others, those two men I just mentioned, and others, I continued to grow. Remember, you get saved, you need to start growing. And it's possible. He is absolutely going to give you the ability to grow. Then Pastor Case, Pastor Hyatt leaves. Pastor Case, he too, through his leadership, has taught me so much from this book. I'm going to reference this a lot today. We've got the notes, and I actually like the notes. I like that system. And I continue to grow to this very day. It's not like it's magic. It's not like it's some kind of, you know, it's just we draw near to God and he'll draw near to us. And we will grow and we'll fulfill. So before I get into the notes, I wrote, I hope the key that these two men have taught me to succeed in Christianity will be realized a little more in your life after today. Now let's go to the notes. Now the funny thing is for me personally, the lead verse, John 3:16, is the most popular verse on the earth, probably. It definitely speaks of the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. And I've always said before in years past that John 3:16, you could preach John 3:16 forever. And never, it's never going to leave us. It's all, I mean, and that's like those notes back here. I'm a very anal about, I don't forget where I came from. I came from a mess, and he turned me upside down, and he shook all the junk out of me and put me right side up on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget that. I will never, when Pastor asked a while ago about thankfulness, the worship team was actually one of those. But I threw out my wife, my job, my health, my church, the Holy Spirit, the Word, the worship team, and I think that's where I stopped, just trying to be thankful, trying to realize, you know, what has God done in my life? And he's done so much. And hopefully, well, let me continue on. Now, look at the word loved. I underlined the word loved to basically say, and of course, the message is about longevity, which is something that's been in my heart lately, and Pastor introduced that as far as how this message came together. And the love of God never ends. It gets us to that place where we accept Christ, believe that God raised him up from the dead, confess Jesus as Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his son for you and I, for our sins. He paid it. It's done. We don't have to worry about all the junk we did in the past. It's over. The love of God did that. He died. He paid the penalty. It's done. Now we can move on. And he will make you He'll take you all the way. It will never be his fault why we don't go all the way, because I'm going to say some things that may sound a little odd. I don't know. We'll get to it in a minute. But so that loved ideal is never, it's, and I'm going to say something real quick, throw this in, and it's not really off my notes, but I'm one of those guys that literally, I say this a lot, I want to live to be 100 years old. Remember, I'm 53. That's a long ways to go yet. And a lot of the reasons why is I want to see my grandchildren's children and all this stuff. And I also want to learn more about the God who called me out of darkness. Because it never ends. This man of God right here knows the Word of God, right? We know that. Awesome. Awesome knowledge about the Word of God. But he will never stop learning from this book. And I'm going to hopefully give some explanations about some of the things that we struggle with from beginning even to the end. Eternal life is the other one I underline real quick. All I'm going to say about that is that that's a long time. That's a long time. And you know, honestly, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I don't know what it's going to be like there on that other side. And I honestly don't care, and reason why is because God's got that all figured out. We don't have to be concerned and worried. He wants us to focus on how we need to follow him on this side. And he'll take care. Oh, my wife has said it many times, you know, let there be celebration, that there ain't no grave going to hold this body down when she passes away. Amen. And we both want to live for, you know, on this side for a long time. Why is that? And actually, some people go, well, it's a mess. The world's going to hell in a handcar. No, it ain't. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. He's not off guard on all this stuff. I mean, I'll say it like this real quick. We love the scripture that says, you know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, you know, and long life is one of those promises. So long life is a good thing, is it not? I mean, it is. And I actually want to live to be 100. Well, anyway, let me say about John 3:16. When we get saved, we don't know who Jesus is. We have no clue. You younger married people, you're finding out what your spouse is really like over the first couple years, and then wait until more time, and then after that, more and more. We don't know. We just feel the burden lift it. When I accepted Christ that day by myself in my home, I felt a burden lift it from me. I was totally freaked out in a new way. And I knew it. And I knew that this Jesus dude was real. That's how I described it. All my friends scattered like a covey of quail. It was crazy. I mean, it was funny. I mean, really, they did. They's like, geez, he definitely overdosed or whatever. But after that, it is a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. And some of us in this room have seen a lot of people fall by the wayside. And if we will stick it out, we'll get through whatever we're struggling with. Because I do not want to, me and Patty's been through a lot, but boy, God just comes through over and over again in so many different ways. And it just blows my mind. Next verse. This is another popular verse. These are verses that I really felt strong that God wanted me to use for this message. Okay, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, Psalm 103, 2-4. That verse speaks of a long time, does it not? Forgives all your sin. And that's something the new Christian is going to realize little by little, and it takes time, and the devil likes to talk a lot of smack in your ear, but you will mess up, you will sin, and I don't know what kind of sin, and I'm trying to be funny here, so laugh with me, hopefully. When I'm 95 years old, David, stop it. When I'm 95 years old, if I get to live to be 100, what kind of sin am I going to be doing? I don't know. I mean, it's kind of funny to think about. It has to be. I mean, what would I be doing? Throwing rocks at the cat, you know? You know, there's not a whole lot I may be able to do. I don't know. We'll see. But what I've written about this scripture is, look at the word forget. The devil will speak lies. This is in reference to Psalm 103. The devil will speak lies to us, distracting us, causing us to forget that he who started a good work will finish it. And we will fail to participate in that work. What I mean by that, and I struggle sometimes when I write stuff like this, but what I mean by that, if we get distracted and we don't take advantage of the benefits, the forgiveness of sin, for instance. How many people get hung up on that one? Quite a few. There's like, I don't know, 2.5 billion Christians on the earth right now, roughly, what Google says. I don't know, Google knows what they're talking about, but I did look it up for the fun of it. Now, we have got to draw near to God. We have got to participate. God, it's almost like chess. God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. He made the first move. Then we draw near to God that first time when we accept Christ as our Savior. And all of us in this room, most of us, probably all of us have done that. There might be one or two that hasn't. But then there's this work that starts, this relationship thing going on. And I'm going to talk about little definitions of Christianity as I see it. But the devil will speak lies to us, distracting us, causing us to forget that he who started a good work will finish it, and we will fail to participate in that work. It takes two. God does not function very well in my life when he's the only one participating in the relationship. I guarantee it. We can talk all day long about grace, and I'm a big advocate. I'm going to talk about some things that Case has taught me in that respect. But if we just flat don't do nothing, it's pretty much hard to grow. Go to school and learn times table and you don't do nothing. You'll get an F on the grade card. And all we do is draw near to God. So it's a continuous process from here on out that we have to draw near to God. And you guys have made that right choice today. You've came here. You know, the body of Christ is the place where there is a lot of ministry that occurs. And, of course, there's plenty of it on the outside for us to participate, prayer closet, our own Bible study, just living our life in our homes and enjoying whatever we do and doing it as unto the Lord. Okay. Now, let's look at the will of God. And just earlier this month, Pastor gave a message about the will of God. I've listened to it twice. That's what I do a lot. I listen to the messages on the phone and have the notes or whatever. And I actually listened to that message twice. I did not use this subtitle because of that message, but he did give me that one verse that's in this thing as we prepared for this message. He helped me. And so this is, for me personally, this was, again, some of the more beginning principles. Let's look at Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's addressed to each and every one of us in this room, from the one who just got saved yesterday to the one who's been saved 70, 80 years like Dave Reboin. I just had to do that one time. I wasn't going to act that way, but I can't help myself. This verse was one of those early on verses that gave me a lot of hope about understanding that God says a lot of things in this book, and they're rather easy to interpret. They're not Greek, they're not Hebrew, they're fairly simple. Now, and this is what leads me to say this now. Good, I can make my plans. God has spoken to me. I've been saved 25 years. God has spoken to me in a really cool way, kind of in my spirit, never audible, about a total of maybe 10 times in 25 years. Well, one time I'm driving home from work, and this is on my notes, driving home from work on evening shift at the prison at Fulton, and I'm just driving, everything's good. I'm not, you know, I'd been in this church several years when this happened, probably 7, 8 years, and God just, in my heart, just said, are you going to be at Victory Christian Fellowship Church this time next year? Just out of the blue. Nothing was going on. I was maybe listening to music, whatever. And I just was like, I knew it was the Lord. I really did. And I'm not saying that arrogantly. I mean, God will speak to you. The primary way God speaks to us is through this book. That's the primary way. But if you think about what he said, it's cool. It goes right along with Jeremiah 29:11. He goes, and I was like, being a little sarcastic, because it caught me off guard. And that's good. I'm glad. And I was like, well, yeah, like a duh thing, you know, not being arrogant towards him. But, I mean, that's just sometimes when he throws a curve at you, you throw your hand up to catch it, and you might say something that doesn't sound really righteous or whatever. But that's how I did it. And God's like, he's factored all that in. He wasn't tripping. He was not, for real. Now, and I was like, I was just like, well, yeah. I mean, that was my response when I finally was like, wow, that was awesome. And I was like, well, yeah, because I wasn't mad at Dave Rabowan. I wasn't mad at Hyatt, or I think it was before Pastor Case came here when that happened. It was long ago. And he quickly, just immediately said, good, I can make my plans. And I was, man, I started speeding up and braking, and I was totally excited because think about it. And what God showed me immediately, I understood it. Give me Revelation, third day Psalm. I just knew it immediately what God was saying to me. He sees my future so perfectly clear, and he's counting on me to do my part to be in a position to be where he wants me to be, to say what he wants me to say, to give what he wants me to give, to have what he wants me to have, and to be a blessing how he wants me to be a blessing, not a curse. And there's just, it is, and that's for every one of us in this room. And we have absolutely got to believe that he totally has this total awesome plan. And he doesn't care whether you got a 4.0 grade point average or a 0.3 like me. Just kidding. I don't even know what mine is. I got a GED, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of my past drugs, abuse, whatever. God cleaned it all up. Gone. You know. And so now let's look at these other two verses, 139 and Hebrews 10:7. I hope I'm doing fairly good. I think I am. Let's keep going. Now this verse here struck me. This is you and me. Now, this is powerful. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. The plan of God. He saw it. He's got it totally figured out. And church, I'm telling you, we've got low self-esteem. We've got, I can't know the Word of God as well as Pastor Case, and I can't speak, and or this and that. We have got to believe that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It will block us from growing. The world may not like us in certain ways, or look at you or look at me and not like this or that or whatever. We have got to throw all that totally out of our life and know that this is one of those promises also, another one of the great, great promises from His Word. Fearfully and wonderfully made you are. And I know that. I believe that in my heart about myself. I know that I have value. I know that I can give people life. I know that God's called me out of darkness to be walk in His marvelous light and be a blessing. And I was to Patty and those kids in the midst of all the mistakes I was even. Because you know what kind of mistakes you're making in your lives. You know there's it's not this perfection walk that you don't sin, that you don't make mistakes in your life. You know better than that. We all know better than that. Now here's Jesus. And this is a scripture that came from that will of God that Pastor gave me. Then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. And if you look at the one in 39, it says, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. Now, is there a plan that's got Pastor Case's name on it in the scriptures that says, okay, Ron Case will da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. No. This book guides each and every one of us according to God's plan for our life. This is the spiritual food that we must partake of. And eat it. Now, what I've written about this, I've already jumped ahead just a hair, but I'm doing pretty good, I think. I hope so. If you look at this 139, the things I wrote down were DNA. DNA has taught us that there's nobody like you. Fingerprints. I worked in the prison system for 20 years. Fingerprints. Look how fearfully and wonderfully each and every one of us are made. There's only one of you. There's only one of you. And if you will draw near to God, as many of you are, I'm not saying you're not, but then guess what? I'm vulnerable to just throw in the towel myself at this point in my life. I could throw in the towel and just, I'm done with this God. I'm done with Christianity. I got to go. He made me mad. He did this. Something disappointed me. Whatever. But we can't. And I'm going to say something that's the one that's a little bit kind of, you might say, some would maybe kind of think a little controversial, and I think you'll get what I'm saying. You need to believe in yourself. You know, we say you need to believe in God. We always say that. We always say that. But what do you think the Scripture means when it says to love your neighbor as yourself? I'm supposed to love myself? There's balance in what I'm saying here. I hope I'm not sounding totally off here. But that's our problem, is we think that because we can't do this. I mean, how many people struggle with that on this earth, in this world, maybe right here in this church? I'm sure there's some of that right here. I don't think I can measure up. Forget not all his benefits. He'll forgive you when you don't measure up. He will come through. Wow. You got to believe. But I stand on the ideal, you got to believe in yourself, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you've been called out of darkness, you've been forgiven. And yes, you keep screwing up. Yes, you keep going back to some of the same behaviors. But keep getting up off, dust your knee off, and sometimes the Lord will carry you himself. But keep on, don't ever let the devil distract you to go, well, I've screwed up 17 times in 16 days since I got saved, and God's done with me. He absolutely will never, 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 never be done with you. I'm going to give you my definition of Christianity. And it's something that I've concluded through my study of the Word and through my history and through my experiences in this place. Because the First Baptist Church, 1 year, nearly 25 right here, raised my family here, love this place. Just don't come that often. That doesn't sound right, does it? But that's okay. Christianity. This is, God gave this to me a long time ago. Christianity is learning who we are and who God is and how we can be one. That's my definition of Christianity. Because we have got to figure out who we are. This Bible will tell you, walk in the flesh and you'll get these fleshly fruits. Walk in the Spirit. So right there's two different places that we find out who we are. We know what's in our flesh. So, and there's tons of, this is full of stories and truths and principles of who we are. And of course, there's a ton of stuff that is in here that says who God is and how he thinks about you and I and how he died on that cross and how he sweat like drops of blood, you know, promise message of punishment. I think that was the right one. I'm pretty sure, but anyway. So, and how can that be done? This book. This book is how, is what I wrote the last year. This book is how we learn who we are and who he is and how we can become one. Jesus did it quite well. He was constantly talking about that. Me and the Father are one. I can only do what I see the Father doing. And he moved forward in the ministry for the time frame of 33 years, whatever it was, that he lived on this side and did what he was supposed to do and fulfilled what was written about him in the book. And in the book, what is written about you and I, God wants it to be fulfilled. He wants we get saved, then he wants us to lead people to Christ. We get saved, he wants us to change our behaviors. He wants us to get all kinds of things in order so that we can be blessed. And me and Patty, oh my gosh, if we come a long way. I am blown away at what Christ has done in my life, and that is no joke. Food for thought. I hate to look at this, but I'm going to. Ooh, just a little bit over. All right. I'm getting close to being done. Let me go on here. Food for thought. But this is Jesus talking. This is about Jesus. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And that's what Jesus says right here. Well, look what it says back up here at Psalm 139. Wonderful are your works. Wonderful all your work. Jesus saw that. He put that into action. And as I wrote, here Jesus is being a doer of the word, not just a hearer, is what I wrote in reference to that scripture. And I want to say another thing about one of my conclusions, because I'm a thinker. I'm going to let God teach me and show me, and I'm listening to my pastor, listen to two different pastors, and don't really listen to hardly anybody else, to be honest with you. I read myself and study, and I've had times where I was doing really well in that and other times where I didn't, but no big deal. But my conclusion is that physical food is similar to spiritual food. And how what God has kind of showed me about that is this. Who remembers? In other words, this is a problem that some people have, especially when they first come to Christ. They read this book, and they're like, listening to me talk about this book maybe, and they're like, I don't get it. This is Greek. This is weird. I don't make no sense. I don't get it. That happens a lot to people. And, of course, the devil's going to help go, boy, that's for sure, dog. That's right. You are right on that one. But I didn't know a thing about the book. Didn't know a thing about the church. Didn't know a thing about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Knew nothing. The very first memory verse the Baptist taught me was Psalm 119, verse 11. I've hidden thy word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. I like that, might not, because I did. And then I didn't forget the benefits, and I went back and I asked God to forgive me. And but back to the food ideal. Who remembers how much food they ate in the last month? Or, I mean, what types of dishes, what types of meals? You know, we don't remember all the food that we ate in the last month, say, for instance, all the meals. Do we? Is there anyone that really knows all the different, you know, and there's not. Well, how many know every verse and every scripture that Pastor Case has preached in the last 30 days? Some of us are more memorization fanatics or whatever, and you'll remember bits and pieces, but I bet there's nobody in this room that really knows concretely in detail all the different references and stuff. But guess what? We've ate physical food in the last month that has caused us to continue to live, to thrive, to do well. If we don't eat, we starve to death and we die, and we go home to be with the Lord. I guess that's one way to look at it, I suppose. But I'm not interested in going that way, and I'm not going that way. I like my groceries. But God's word is the same way. Don't let that bother you. Just go after it. Of course, look for guidance from people that you trust, and you can help you to go what direction you should read in the book. I'm telling you, he is no respecter of persons. He'll give you this kingdom. He'll cause you to be prosperous. He'll take you all the way, and you will be so different. I say this a lot to me and Patty. We talk a lot. Where are we going to be 10 years from right now? I'm kind of a futuristic looking or kind of a person, you know, and I know. I mean, I don't know what God's got in store. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, he can. There's so many things that can happen on this side. But as we're going to see in a minute, there's advantage to knowing the Word of God and to trust God in these things. 29:29. Flip it over, please. Another powerful verse. Secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. If there's not longevity in there, I don't know what. I mean, you think about it. That's a lifelong journey right there. That kind of declares just so much. And it's, you know, there's things we don't understand. There's the secret things. But what God has given us in this awesome book is for us and our children so that we might eat it and live. It will produce life. Guarantee it. I'm blown away. Still blown away at. And again, I put lifelong journey over 29:29. I love that verse. 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed to us belong to us in this book. Belong to us. But the things revealed belong to us and our children. That was an NIV version that I memorized originally. To our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Tripping hazards, last section. Tripping hazards, the reason I named it that was I work for the railroad now, been there 4 years. And they have a safety ideal about tripping hazards. Even on the gloves, it'll say, don't let your feet go where your eyes haven't been. You're climbing off rail cars, whatever. You know, this, we're out in the middle of different places. And it's just a safety thing. Well, the truth is, God's word tells us there's a lot of tripping hazards also. And so that's why I named it. This is Job. And I'm just going to read it. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. But he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does, for he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. I want to read the NIV version of verse 14, the last verse. He carries out his decree against me, and many such plans he still has in store. Now, the tripping hazard here is that we do not always see what God is doing in our life. We've all been challenged. Anyone that's been around Christianity for, oh, we'll say, especially a couple years and beyond, have struggled with different things. Job could not see what God was doing. So I wrote after I wrote that for you, is we need to hunger and thirst for the word. At times, it's all we have. Job is in one heck of a mess here. And a lot of us know just how severe the trial was for him at this time. He declared, I don't see God. I look and I'm not seeing him. That's what it says. But he held on to the word of God in this situation. And he knows. And he cares. He still loves me. Job really didn't forget his benefits at this point, in my opinion. He did a little crazy talking. It's just amazing how that guy rolled. But and how it worked out for him. James clearly states that you've heard about the perseverance, I believe is the right word. Pretty sure that you've heard how Job persevered and you've seen what God finally brought about in his life. I don't know what God would have done for Job if Job would have thrown in the towel. And I'm telling you, I have great compassion. Me and Patty's had some struggles and some disappointments and some trials, for real. And many of y'all know what they are. But if we'll stay the course, we'll get through it. And we'll move on to the next high point, and then we're probably going to go down again. And God's going to grow us and challenge us and change us and teach us and bring out things that are inside of us that he wants to get out of us and help us to see. Can you imagine Job, for those that's been around a while that know their Bible, can you imagine what Job had to say to folks after the total makeover just came to me, total makeover, after the trial? There's a lot said about. And one of the things he said when God chewed his butt out, because God chewed his butt out. I mean, I love that. I don't want to use the word I really want to use, but he gave him a good old-fashioned American butt chewing. Twice. Told him said a lot of things to him. One of them that I just delight in is, does the lightning say to you, here we are? God said that to Job. That is powerful. Can you imagine lightning, you having the power over lightning? That's who our God is. And he's powerful. But Job fought the good fight and hung in there. But at the end, he did say, "When after God shoot him out good," I'll finish this and conclude here. That my ears have heard, because Job was an awesome man of God. We see that at the beginning. He had done a lot of things for his own kids and family. He was like a good spiritual father, like many sitting here right in front of me right now. And he said, my ears have heard, but now my eyes see. Because God had to challenge him on all his, you know, grumbling about what he had been through. So powerful stuff, in my opinion. And it is powerful, for real. But in conclusion, I'm going to talk about these two men, my two pastors. Pastor Hyatt, there was a lot that that man taught me in this church. But the thing that I wanted to write down and share today was that he said that the ground was exceedingly level at the foot of the cross. He was not up here and you all down there. God is fair and just. He wants to give all of us everything that he wants to give us, that is. He wants us to fulfill the will of God. The ground is exceedingly level. I mean, the church has been somewhat guilty of displaying a, you know, kind of a, you know, a little bit of a, I mean, the world definitely does it. Does the world not do that? I mean, if you look a certain way, you're accepted. If you do a certain thing, you're accepted. But if you think this way or act that way, you're not accepted. Not so with God. Now to talk about Pastor Case here for a minute. He came in, and the thing that I wrote down was, he has factored in our failures. That's what I wrote down about Case. But he has taught me so much about truth. And I know that's the same for you guys. But something else, there's a whole lot of new people in this place, a ton of new people in this place that have been nurtured like I was by Hyatt. And now you don't know Hyatt, but I can't forget that experience. But I did transfer into my new pastor to receive everything that God's got for me through the pastor, through that man of God. And I know in this room there's plenty of you thinking about how much he has sharpened you, how much he's encouraged you, how much he's built you up, how much he's been there for you in so many ways. But when you think about he has factored in our failures, that's the truth. Remember in 16 days I failed 17 times and I'm going to throw in the towel? He's factored that in. He does not want you to throw in the towel because you keep sinning. You know, Peter said, how many times am I supposed to forgive my knucklehead brother? You know, seven times, I think is how it reads. And Jesus said, no, seven times 70, dog. I mean, we cannot totally trip God up and he's not perplexed about about your sin. Hyatt said that to me one time in that office. He said, you're not going to surprise me with your sin. So those two men have contributed so significantly to my life. And, of course, there's all kinds of other areas I could describe, but I'm not going to. So the end of this, and I'm done here, Christianity is a lifelong journey. And I beg you to stay in it for the long haul because I have sensed and felt and experienced through my longevity, through sticking it out through some tough times and stayed the course, that my marriage is much better, my finances are much better, my emotional well-being is so much better. I'm not tempted to get high anymore. I'm not tempted to drink anymore. I've got some temptations. I'm not exempt now. I'm not floating around in this bubble. It's a mess out there. You have to make choices. And I've been doing pretty good, but I still have to go to God and ask him to forgive me, too, at times. I do, and that's fine. I'm thankful that I don't forget his benefits. All right, Pastor, thank you. Let me see. I got to look at something here. Let me just do this for the fun of it. 12 minutes over.
And I did not give him a time limit, so. God bless you. Boy, talk about the will of God. It was the will of God. Something that was in our hearts for a while, and just the Spirit settled it for this last September Sunday. And the will of God. Thank you, brother. Why don't we stand, and we're going to pray. We're going to let the Word and the Spirit continue to settle this. Because there's some things to be settled today. And if we could just close our eyes for a moment. there may be some here today that you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you have felt the offer, the love and the life. It's not about what you've done wrong. Jesus has already come and dealt with that. But now His love is His arms are open to you, His love is extended. And if you will repent, if you'll come to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, I believe in your work, your finished work, death and resurrection. I want to be part of your family." If that's you, just raise your hand so I could pray for you today. God loves you. He gave His Son. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, what we have, what we've been presented with in the form of testimony and scriptures is a life path. And just to use the words from Job, "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside." He could trip up, he could stumble, he could stay down for the count for a while, but he got up and he kept going. It's the life path. And I want to pray for you today. You want to continue on the life path. What I've heard from my brother, I just want that to continue to be my experience. I want to hold fast to his steps and keep his way and not turn aside. Why don't you come on down and we'll pray and ask God all to help us all. If there wasn't a danger of turning aside, that possibility wouldn't be in the New Testament. There are those that had forsaken Christ.